Welcome to The Joey Show.
Thank God I hear the podcast.
We have a great guest for you today, JT Parr. As you can see, not here in New York. We're here in Los Angeles. And by as you can see, I mean I'm not in my normal apartment. I'm in a different apartment this time. Sponsoring this, I don't know what that is, a ficus? I don't believe it's real. Much like a lot of LA. But we have a great guest for you today, someone who is very real, JT Parr. You may know him from some of his activism.
What up, council? My name is JT Parr. I am also here to defend parties in the Hollywood Hills. I grew up like most kids, worried I couldn't bench two plates, that I wouldn't fit in, that I wouldn't find love. Then I discovered partying, and suddenly all those worries went to the wayside. I didn't need love. I had keg stands.
You may know him from his Netflix show or his podcast, Going Deep with Chad and JT. A great guy. We get into a lot of stuff here. I consider JT, I mean, he's a cool dude, but I also consider him a bit of a sage wisdom. So we get into some questions. I was like, you know what? It seemed wrong for us to do that in the confines of the indoors, you know? So we went out to a lovely park and we talked about some stuff. We talked about, I ended up hanging out with Jake Paul the night before he announced his Mike Tyson fight. We talk a lot about the meaning of life, and there's a lot of fun stuff in there. So we're going to do that at the end. We're going to do a new little segment called Rules to Live By, and we're going to start trying to figure out how to live a better life by following a few simple rules. But without further ado, here is the interview with JT Parr.
Yeah, dude, it's nice. Hey, JT.
Hey, what's going on, Joey? How you doing, man?
Good, man. This is great.
Yeah, it's nice.
The most intimate podcast setup that I've ever done.
This is kind of my preferred physical setup, so I'm psyched.
I kind of, when I was, even when I thought about having you on, I was like, what are we going to, like, sit inside, dude?
No, that doesn't make sense.
That wouldn't be right.
No, we're outdoor boys. We want the action. We want the stimuli.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we're earthing right now. We're grounding.
Fucking A, man. I needed this. I needed just some grass under my fingers.
I did need it. I was having just one of those days where I was just thinking about all the negative things for some reason. And then I got outside and I was like looking at this tree and I was like, this tree knows what's up.
Yeah. It's at peace as far as I can tell. And I think I could learn a lot from it.
Yeah. You can. Have you ever had that experience where, like, you're either on a psychedelic or you just have a breakthrough and you're just like, dude, I forgot that trees are living things.
Dude, that was actually, I have had that.
Yeah.
I actually wrote that into something.
Did you really?
Yeah, like in a show that me and my partner Chad made, I have a breakthrough that when I'm on mushrooms that the trees want to be saved, and so I shave a line down the middle of my head to a protest deforestation
yes,
in the Amazon.
Was that in the Netflix show?
Yeah, so.
That was great.
So you're speaking, this is my language. I love doing boomers and getting in touch with stuff.
Yeah.
I'm pretty disconnected from nature as a sober person. I don't like nature that much. I'm more of an outdoor mall guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love just us dominating nature and then recreating it in a really curated way.
That is kind of what we're best at.
Dude, we're the best.
Like when you go to Disneyland and you're like, you know, I've been to Moab and those rocks, they're hard to drive through, but you go to Cars Land, mm-hmm. and you're like, that's my version
it's
of
perfect.
That.
And there's like spaghetti right next door.
Yeah.
That's what Moab doesn't have.
Yeah. I feel like this is almost a microcosm of who you are as a man. Like,
I think so.
You're directly connected to the spiritual, but you're not really trying to do it too much.
Oh, thanks, man. I really appreciate that.
You know?
Yeah, I try to, you know, carry it lightly.
Yeah.
Because I think we get a little too romantic about it, where people are like, have you been to the mountains? I'm like, oh, wow.
Right. Yeah. I think that's the big turnoff, is you talk to someone and they've had this breakthrough and everything they're saying is correct about the state of oneness in the world, but we've kind of come so far that it's a bit of a drag to hear all of
it. Yeah. And I'm not buying it all the time.
Right.
I'm like, if you're not owning that you're like a piece of shit scumbag that wants to be favored amongst all,
right.
I don't know if I can trust you, because I don't know. I think we all have that in us a little
bit. So then
bit.
Can you have a breakthrough, or because it always feels fake when someone does feel like they've like moved on to another realm. And I think the thing that you're pointing out is, but you want to call out, you're like, no, you're full of shit.
Yeah.
You haven't, like, just because you use Dr. Bronner's doesn't mean that you've removed yourself from society. You still want people, you still want to drive a nice car, even if it's a hybrid.
Yeah, exactly. Or you want something nice, or you want to be thought of as nice amongst a certain, right. most cliques of people. Yeah, I don't know. I think a breakthrough is possible, but I don't trust him. Like Shia LaBeouf's having a breakthrough every year, right. but he keeps doing crazy shit. I like him as an actor a lot,
right.
but I just don't believe the breakthroughs.
I mean, only crazy people have breakthroughs. And then yeah. now, because of the internet, everyone's watching and everyone has an opinion, and they're like, well, they're kind of right.
That's my. I'm in my mid-30s. I should have a couple more breakthroughs, but they shouldn't be happening all the time.
Right. No, your next breakthrough is like, oh, yeah, no, some of this shit does suck.
Exactly.
Your next yeah. breakthrough is just purely negative. But that's yeah. not who you are. You're a very positive person. I appreciate that about the stuff that you and Chad do, is it's like there is a bro-y reality and sensibility that speaks to my soul. But
Hell
at
yeah.
the same time, it is like it's you're actually talking about stuff and there is a reality connected to it.
Yeah. I think kind of like a slightly sincere, slightly sarcastic conscientiousness is probably
right.
where I want to be most of the time.
Right, right, yeah. right, right, right.
What about
right.
you? You're a pretty sincere guy, right?
I think so. I mean, like, I think whenever people ask me to describe, and this is, like, horrible marketing or branding, but, like, when people are like, what is your comedy about or what is your podcast about? I'm like, I'm just trying to be me. I think that's it.
That's what you should be doing,
right?
too. I know.
But that, like, if you're talking about anyone you're a fan of, you don't describe Bill Burr's comedy. I guess you could. I guess you could be like, oh, he's good. But they would all be reductive. You'd be like, no, it's Bill Burr. I'll watch his special, you know?
It's hard, man. I think the audience always wants to reduce you a bit
yeah.
to, like, the most obvious things. But what made me want to do this is that I think I am beyond reduction. I am the most...
You couldn't possibly...
I'm like, don't even
don't
try.
Because
the moment you do, I'll swerve on you, yeah. bro. I'll swerve so hard.
Yeah, but that also, but then all of a sudden you put something out and it gets like no views and you're like, why the fuck don't people get it? And it's like, oh, because the packaging is you're trying to figure shit out.
I know. It's like
but you're like, I didn't want it. I didn't get into this to package it.
Like Commedia dell'arte. You got to wear the mask that people yeah. see you in. Like you got to, maybe I have to be slack-jawed and like kind of, you know, bad at talking. But that feels a little limiting to me.
Right, right.
I don't want to do that forever.
Right,
because it
right.
makes a couple people happy.
Well, and then you get locked into you're doing something at a certain... Whatever you're doing now, you don't want to be stuck doing that
no.
when you're like 50.
No.
You know?
It would look ugly.
It would be weird.
Yeah, and it'd be sad.
It's definitely going to rain.
Yeah,
dude,
it's raining. I mean, dude, we are straight up just Gavin Rosdale glycerin
dude,
right now.
There is every single... Aside from actually directly behind me is nice, but there are... Mount, there are a lot of clouds coming, which would not be great because I do need this camera equipment. I think we'll be okay, dude.
I think we need the biscuit for the art.
I think we do. I think we are real artists, and what we need to do an anti-rain dance.
Ooh, I'm down.
Yeah, or an anti-rain pod.
You don't got to ask me twice.
Have you ever gotten into any, have you ever tried any weird, like, I don't know, like shaman ritual or any of that stuff?
We brought like a spiritual healer onto our podcast one time. This guy, Troy Casey, he's a great talker and very convincing. But then like once a month, he'll put something online where I'm like, I can't be associated with this person. But the first time we met, I was kind of taking the piss out of him, which is funny because he actually drinks his own piss. And then at the end.
He put it right back in.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a closed loop.
Nice try. Yeah. Nice try, pussy. It's going back.
Oh, thank you for helping me out. Yeah. Just leave that right there. He blew hape up our nose, which is like a tobacco root that will mess you up pretty good. I threw up. I had an experience. He guided me.
Was it a psychedelic?
Well, not quite. It was just
so
like
you just puked off tobacco. That's dude, like when I take a 6 milligram Zin.
It kind of was
just like I'm twirling right now,
yeah,
dude.
You're
this
just
is a
scared
problem.
And your body's under yeah. attack.
I start sweating. I'm like, dude, I need to shit. Like I don't know yeah. what it is.
But I'd rather be that than bored. So that's like kind of the nuts
and bolts. That's a pretty fair analysis of intoxication.
For sure.
Is it's better than being bored?
I know that
it probably gives me a little bit of depression the next day, ruins the physique, but it's like, but what am I going to do? Just fucking sit here and read?
No, you can't be good all the time.
No, like, it doesn't work.
No, you're, you know, a dynamic dude.
Yeah.
You need to self-destruct a little bit.
I know. Yeah. I know. Maybe slightly less, but
you don't seem like you don't push it too hard, though.
I don't. I just really like, it's probably, I would have to run the numbers. It's probably come up on every episode of the podcast at this point, but it's like, I do like going out. I like if I have,
you're a social
guy. I have worked all weekend, I want to see my friends and tie one on. It's just, and that is to comedians are the first group of people that it was even thought of as like, oh, you cannot do that. Like all of my friends growing up, it's like, yeah, you work all week, and then on the weekend we get together and we tie one on. Yeah, what else are we doing? It's the whole point. It's what America's built on.
Dude, I had this friend's older brother. I used to see him in Newport Beach on the weekends. Just, you couldn't even see him. I mean, he was there walking around, but like when you looked into his eyes, he was, I think he ran like a bunch of fast food places. He was gone.
Yeah, that's the thing is, dude, that would be amazing to just run fast food places and then black out every, there's a darkness like sitting over your entire.
Oh, it was a play. It was sad, yeah, but it was American.
Problem, dude. It is, yeah. Yeah, no, I don't, obviously, like anyone who does like the party, I've had nights where I get after it, but no, usually it's like the reason I do it is because I am now less in my head about the things I want to accomplish, and I'm more just like, let's fucking talk about shit. Like, let's just forget everything and just hang.
I 100%. I think also, like,
it helps with presence.
We had our best hang at a party. Trevor Wallace's birthday.
Yeah.
And also, I got close to Alec Flynn that night. Like, I think it speeds things up a lot where you're having fun, and it's kind of, I think sometimes people can be self-conscious about having fun in front of other people. And when you trust someone to have fun in front of them, it's a real trust. You're like, oh, I connect with this guy. He's a real dude. And that's necessary. I don't know how to do that. I mean, you can do that, I guess, doing like hiking and stuff, but it's more fun.
But it's not
dancing and drinking.
Yeah, exactly. There's something about the self-destructive thing that when you do it with the group, it's team bonding.
Exactly.
Even when you're hungover together. Like, the best thing is when you do a trip, like an Airbnb with the friends, you go hard one night, you wake up the next morning, and everyone's kind of banged up, but then maybe you get a little cocktail going, and then all of a sudden you're coming back to life, but you're a little hungover, so you're laughing at everything, and it's like, that's when you're like, oh, I'd love these people so much. You don't get that from a morning Pilates.
No, no shot. 20 people waking up at the same, like, apartment when it was, like,
dude,
just a little, and then you just be like, and you'd see who slept next to who and stuff like that.
The best. Yeah, you start decoding mysteries and stuff like that. Dude, it's the best. And that happens less and less when you get older, and that sucks. But it's harder to get a bunch of people together, and it's no longer, it's less charming to make mistakes at a certain age.
100%. It, all very true.
Because then it becomes who you literally are.
Yeah, and it's like people are counting on you. Like, I have a girlfriend and kids now, and, like, you know, I got to show up on time to stuff. Like, it's not cute if I'm, like, late because I'm hungover.
No, you can't do that. You have to be on the same page. If you get a sitter, you and the girlfriend do it, that's one thing. But
I got to do more work on the front end and back end to make sure it's all copacetic.
Yeah, you have to set it up.
I got
to
be smart.
Which is, like, even, like, what sex becomes. It becomes, like, can you pencil me in tomorrow around we get sleepy
favorite,
at night. We
got
to do it.
I got to get my nuts. So
I don't give a fuck.
I'll be like, babe, Friday, I'm coming after you. I'm coming after you.
Hey, prepare your pussy.
Yeah. Be ready. I'm going to brush my teeth. I'm going to floss. No impediments.
Yeah, dude.
My hygiene will be bop.
It's not the greatest intro to it, but once you get going, it still works.
That's the thing, is once you're inside, you're just happy to be there.
Just fired up.
And then the leg, you know what happens now too, is me and her will, I hope you don't mind me saying all this, babe, you're so wonderful, but sometimes, like,
she listens.
Yeah. We'll get to the point where we start going, and then she'll hear the kids crying. She's like, I gotta go run in there. And so I just gotta stay in the mood, even though there's going to be a couple false starts.
Right, right.
But I don't mind that. That's just part of the...
You want to play the game. You know, like, you want to be a football player. The other team might have to take a timeout. You got to stay ready.
You don't decide on the conditions. You just play 100%.
That's right, dude.
TV timeout. Coach pulls you out for a package. You know, you don't fit into the coverage.
Yeah.
Whatever. Be ready to go when it's your time.
Yeah, dude.
What am I going to do, mope on the bench?
How, you had twins, right?
Yeah.
How is being a... Were you planning on the twins?
No. We weren't planning on having two. It was total. That was.
Were you planning on having any?
Yes, I thought it would take longer because I'm on Propecia. So I was like, oh, I'm shooting blanks for sure. And then like a month later,
are you,
like,
on preventative Propecia? Because I feel like your hair is still cruising.
I got in front of it pretty quick.
That's good.
But
dude,
it's still thinning because it's been years. But so I thought I'd be shooting blanks. It happened fast. It was a big curveball. I mean, I knew it was coming, but we hadn't been dating that long. But that's always how I was going to do it. I'm crazy about her, but it was, we hadn't been dating long, and then we found out we were having two, and that really threw us.
Yeah,
we had the biggest fight of our life.
Really?
The night we found out we were having two.
What was the premise of it,
dude? All right, so we're totally thrown. She's like crying. She finds out we're having two. I'm pretty freaked out too. And then I've been pushing her to watch Friday Night Lights, the TV show, with me because it's got great family values in it.
Yeah.
She's in kind of a mood. I'm like, hey, I'll leave you alone. I'm going to go to the gym. I come back. She watched the pilot of Friday Night Lights without me. And I'd been hounding her for months to watch it with me. Dude, I was piping mad. And then she's like, I wish you'd just give me the benefit of doubt. I didn't do it to upset you. But she went to bed and left it on the TV that she had watched the first episode without me. Like, it was so strategically placed.
She content cheated.
Bro, it was a total betrayal. So I start getting mad, and she's like, are you really gonna get mad? I go, no, it's fine, it's fine. I go in the other room. She loves The Crown. I watch an episode of The Crown without her.
This is the most adorable fight of all time. Like, this is a beautiful relationship.
She comes out, sees I'm watching The Crown. She starts slamming doors, dude. We fought for like 2 days. Furious.
So this, and you think all of this was underlying the twins is what had you stressed out?
Just finding out we're having two kids, 100%.
Instead of fighting about that, because there's really nothing you can say or do.
What can you do?
You took it out on the Netflix.
We just started betraying each other in the most low stakes way possible.
Yeah.
But that it felt like a real, I felt like a knife in my heart when I saw she watched Friday Night. We still haven't watched it. Because it's too hard.
Well,
it's
now you can't go back.
Ruined.
It's a loaded show.
It's ruined.
Is The Crown ruined as well?
No, we pushed through on that one.
Pushed through. See? So you're a man. You're willing to compromise.
It's tough, but you got to do it.
Yeah. Is it kind of nice to have two? Because I don't know how many you wanted to have total, but now you're condensing your workload and time window.
100%. And we got a boy and a girl, so that feels good. And then they're going to be able to hang out with each other. Like, me and my brother are really close, so that feels nice.
Are you and your brother twins?
No, but we're 22 months, so we're really...
Okay. Very close.
I just wanted siblings, and I wanted them to be close, so this kind of feels like fast-tracks that a bit.
Yeah.
But who knows? You never know.
You don't. Do you want more?
Depends how these two turn out.
Yeah. Has it changed? Because comedy is such a weird...
Sorry, kiddos.
Yeah, sorry.
But I do want it. I want one of my kids to be president.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Would you actually like that?
Dude, I'm like...
Being the president would be brutal, but being the president's dad would be sick.
Yeah.
You're just at the country club just dominating people. Hey, what's Jeff doing? Oh, he's a doctor? Fucking pussy.
Leo probably could have done that, but I guess he had his sights set a little higher.
Yeah. He wanted to make impact. It's lovely saving a life.
I hope he likes fixing knees.
Yeah. It's lovely saving a life, but have you ever thought about carpet bombing 2,000 people to potentially save 50,000?
Yeah, you know, people of other religions, my son makes sure they don't have any power.
You like the life you have?
Yeah,
you like
welcome.
The life you have? You like freedom?
You feel
like
safe?
Not having to wear a turban every day? You like that, Jeff? Yeah. Well, thank my son.
Yeah, you want to complain about it, but without us, you know, you'd be up Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
No, so I kind of do want that. They took tests the other day.
And if it's your daughter, you're just kind of dismissive. You're like, well, she's
trying her hardest. She could be doing better. I mean, she got the job.
The boy really would have got her done, but yeah. he would have done it, and he would have been a little less harsh.
I'm kidding, babe. I want you to be the first NFL head coach.
Yeah, dude, that would be sick.
Is it weird to call your daughter babe?
I don't think so.
I think it's weird.
I think it's a tone thing.
Right.
I think it's a tone thing.
I'm definitely not going to
do that
regularly.
My wife calls me babe, but she calls her sister babe, and it's a different babe, and it's just, it's all in the inflection. But then she'll get on the phone and be like, hey, babe, and I'll be like, yeah, bitch, I'm right here.
Tom Brady calls everyone babe.
He mouth kisses his son.
He's that kind
of
guy.
Yeah. I'm sick of people like Tom Brady has done so much in his life that if he wants to show some mouth-to-mouth love with his son, I think that he should be allowed to do that at this point without everyone being weird.
I'm 100%. I feel like it's almost like if he's doing it, should I be doing it?
Right.
Is that part of the magic?
Yeah. I remember my dad would kiss me on the lips in a non-weird way. It ended at a long time before Tom.
This is good because my dad too, and I had to end it with my dad. I broke up with him.
I remember. I think I only remember it once because I think that was the time where I was like, ugh, and I think it ended immediately after that.
I just remember I had my driver's license and I was like, enough is enough.
Yeah. He was dropping you off at his learner that you're getting your learner from.
Dude,
good luck.
My buddy kissed his dad in front of us when we were like 21. And we all just like got in the car afterwards. We're like, dude, what are you doing?
And that's insane.
Yeah, we all started picking on him about it. And we went to the bar, and he darted to the bathroom. And I followed him in there because I could tell he was feeling it emotionally. And he was crying in the stall. And I went, hey, man, you know, we're just joking and stuff.
You're also like, by the way, you can't kiss your dad and cry in one outing, dude. That's a fucking brutal stat line.
I love him to death. He was that kind of dude. It was part of his charisma. It was part of what made him awesome, but he
was that he had things that were clearly wrong with him that were a fun part of discussion. No, just, not to be, I'm being maybe a little harsh.
He was hot. And he was sensitive. It would all come out full flood. And then I remember I was talking about it. He goes, you guys are just jealous.
That is an incredible defense. You guys are just fucking jealous. Steve, I know you tried to kiss my dad, and he said no. So fuck you. I still get to. He loves me.
You wish you could lock into those luscious lips.
You guys are just jealous. It's
crazy. I remember I just looked at him and I was like, dude, I don't even know what the hell is going on.
What's
here.
That guy doing now?
He's doing all right. Yeah.
What's he doing? Or is it you don't want to divulge too much?
He's good. He's like, Yeah, he's good. He's good. He's rock solid. He is. He's the best guy in the world. I love him to death.
Anyone who has a large enough friend group, like you have some friends that just, let's just say they do things a little bit differently.
You got to.
You can't have all, I feel like you and I are kind of similar.
I think we're the same exact
guy. Okay, cool. Yeah, you can't have all that. You can't have like, it'd be a good time, don't get me wrong. But if there were like eight of us in one thing, you need to mix it up. You need to have a guy who's weird, who's like, really into, like, I don't know. Like,
crystals or something.
Yeah.
Or you need some wild cards, too. Because a lot of my friends are on the straight and narrow now. They've given up their kind of more outside the lines behavior.
Yeah.
And it's the best, and I love them, and they're so solid. But you need somebody who provides the spark and the stories.
Yeah.
And that's this guy. He is the lifeblood of the group.
Yeah, you love the people who just make dumb decisions. Like, you find out, like, something comes out, and you find out, like, what they put in their dating app profile or something, and then all of a sudden everyone just has this moment of, this is how you've been living your life? That's insane, dude. And then it's a tough moment, but it's a teachable moment, and a good friend will, that'll be a tough day for them, but hopefully it improves them, the ridicule.
I was really hard on this guy.
Yeah.
He would, he liked attention.
Not as hard as his dad was.
No, his dad had a priority over some parts. Yeah. But he would, like, stick out in a lot of ways. Sometimes it felt too, like, attention-seeking. Like, he would wear, like, a suit to the beach. But then he'd wear, like, swim trunks to a wedding. And then we were going to, like, a rodeo. And he dressed in, like, a nightclub outfit. Like, he had a purple V-neck and leather jacket on. And I remember he came over and I was kind of, like, probably too policing. But I was like, go home and change right now.
Did he do it?
And he did. And then my buddy, my other buddy was like, hey, you're being way too hard on him. And I was like, shut up. No, I'm not. Like, he's got to learn. And then, but, you know, you get older and then you just don't have the energy to keep
policing. And you just kind of let people, they become less brash about the decisions they're making. And you become less hard on them. And then you kind of just sit there, wait to die.
You wait to die, and you just die. You just die, and you let people live, and you die, and you realize.
And you move on.
And it's tough when you're in your, in my 30s, I don't think I'm going to let people bully me or bully people the way I did those people I met early.
Right.
Like, you and me, I don't know, will we get to a point where I'm like, you can't wear that? I don't see that for us.
I don't see it either, and I'm wearing this as we speak.
Like, if we were 18, if we were 18, I might say something.
Right.
But I met you like this, too. So,
right.
To me, this might just be what you wear.
What I do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I make crazy decisions.
And you want people, at a certain point, you want people to do that because you're like, now you've cemented it. Now it's your brand. But there is a period of your life where you're like, we can save this.
We can stop him from changing.
But the older you get, stuff gets kind of fun. Like a weird outfit, you become weird outfit guy. This is now a cool thing. If you're like this 60-year-old who wears like really ridiculous Hawaiians
You've
all the time, it's like, oh,
thing.
that's a cool guy now.
And you survive the people telling you to go the other way.
Right.
Which shows strength and integrity.
And that's all we actually want is someone being authentic and being like, this is who I am. And I think when you're shitting on people, you're trying to be like, there's no fucking way that's who you are.
Yes.
But if you persevere, then it becomes who you are, and then you're grooving.
And you know what? It was who he was.
Yeah.
I should have let it go.
You should have let him keep Frenching his dad.
And I do a lot of things now that I won't admit on camera that I would have killed him for.
Like what?
I can't say.
I thought I used the oldest podcaster trick in the book.
That was pretty clever.
Yeah, you stayed pretty strong with that one.
You motherfucker.
Will you tell me off camera?
Yeah, okay, sure.
I'll plug it in at the end.
It's all stuff up here. Have me on again in a year, and I'll just let him rip.
Okay, yeah. Cool. I love that. I love that. Do you think if your kids are doing weird stuff, you'll try to
coach them? I practice those speeches already.
Yeah.
Where I don't think I'll say that's weird because I don't think they're going to trust my value judgment. I think I'm going to say like...
Right, because they're going to be like, Dad, you're a loser.
Exactly. So I'm just going to say things like, oh, is that the kind of person you want to be?
Yeah. Oh.
Just little passive aggressive.
That's the kind of stuff you could use on your friends at this point.
Torpedoes.
Yeah.
Underwater.
I'm not mad. I'm disappointed. That was all the shit that I remember getting in trouble for some stuff, and I was like ready for my dad to just fucking unload on me, and he was basically like, you know... It's just disappointing because I think you are a great kid and I expected better out of you. And I was like, oh, me too.
Right. Yeah, like a full frontal assault, you'd almost be ready for.
No, yeah. If he was like, what the fuck is this? I'd be like, fuck you, Dad. I'm joining the military.
Exactly. When they come at you sideways like that.
Yeah, you're like, oh, no. I had to believe in myself the whole time.
Do you have? You seem like you had a good dad.
Yeah. But both my parents are great. Like, we're still close. You know, like any family, there's their
idiosyncrasies. I started looking at you like this when you started talking. I don't know why I did that.
Well, that's because the podcast just changed. Oh. You started interviewing me, dude. You started Mark Marin-ing me right here. You Park Marin-ed me in this beautiful location.
I'm a huge Marin fan.
Yeah. Oh, dude, he's amazing.
I know too much about him. A comedian mentioned, he's like, I actually did a stand-up show with his first wife 20 years ago. I was like, oh, Mishna? Like...
Podcasting is the weirdest thing in the world because you know so much about someone, but then they obviously have no idea.
He has
who you
no
are.
Idea who I am. No.
And then when you meet them, you're like, on the one hand, you want to let them know that you are aware of their work and a fan of it, but you will never be like, I know that.
Yeah, it's hard to let that stuff out. Yeah, I think it's in my eyes though. When I do see, I've shook his hand once. When we were at the Comedy Store, when I shook his hand, I was like. There was like a doughiness in my eyes.
You're like, please ask me about my relationship with my parents.
Yeah, like no one knows you like I do, man.
And he's so open and vulnerable that people, I think, feel along for the ride. A lot of podcasts are like, here's the information I have that I can give to you. And he's just like, I'm kind of hanging on.
Yeah, he's like, I fucked up, you know, and that's part of me is fucking up. Yeah. And then coming back and realizing the fuck up.
And then he like questions everything. And I don't know why I'm like that, you know. But it was one of those things where I'd see this guy and I'd go, fuck him. He hates me.
That was the best. He doesn't do that as much. Now he's like, you know, kind of
he's
been successful for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds nice to be at peace, dude. Like, I really would love to get to a point. Like, I feel like starting comedy, it was so great because everything is like, bro, I just believe, like, I know where it's going. It's all going to work out, and I'm going to be huge and all of this. And I still believe that, but now you're at the point where you every decision you make has, like, consequences on whether or not that happens. So it's a lot of, like, oh, that thing I posted sucked. This is fucking brutal. And I would love to get to that point where you're like, we made it. I don't give a fuck. But I don't think you actually do, because then all of a sudden it's the, like, you know, your next thing, you fall off from where you were, and then you lose momentum, and the whole high school-y game of the industry turns on you, and that's not why we got into this shit.
I mean, I was literally, exactly what you said is all I was thinking about on the drive over here, and it's all I think about every day.
Yeah.
It's my whole brain.
It's not right. It's too much of it.
But you know what? I think we judge it too much.
We do.
What else are you going to think about?
That is a good point.
And like,
I should be thinking about, like, you know, I feel like when I was younger, I would just drive around and just think about, like, consciousness and nature and, like, what it all means.
Stupid.
And, you think that's stupid?
That kind of circles back to my earlier point about, like, outdoor malls being the shit. I think... I'm prone to thinking about the deep stuff too, but I don't think you ever figure that stuff out. And what I like about trying to make it and trying to really reach beyond your grasp is there's like an urgency to it. There's
right.
It's like all sides of it.
Right.
Does that make sense?
No, it does. It is like It's like if you're a sports fan, you want to see an athlete in the playoffs. That guy isn't, like, at peace. No, he's not chilling. He's fucking stressed out. Yeah. Everyone's screaming at him all the time. And it is the most interesting thing to do is figure out if you can do something hard and do it well. And that is what should actually help you evolve as a person, which, if you wanted to bring it back to a metaphysical thing, would potentially be what you are here for.
I think so. And then there's a gross part of it too, where like the ego gets big, where you're like, oh, I don't want to lose status, or I don't want people to think I'm not as cool as they thought. And that's something that can get in front of me, and that I have to, after the fact, be like, oh, that was bad. I want less of that.
Yeah.
But I want the good part of it, like the driving part of it.
I think it's that. I think that like the side of it that I love is when I'm driving around and I'm thinking about, what is the new thing that I can do that'll get me to the next level? And, like, that's why I've liked doing this, is because it's like, I'll do the interview, but then I'm like, oh, shit, I got an episode on Thursday. I got to come up with a sketch or a music video, or what do I want to talk about in my solo thing? And, like, the creative side I love. But I think that the thing that's getting annoying is because of the constant, the social media
age
that we're in, which is the only reason I have any career right now, so I'm not bitching about it. But, like, it just kind of sucks that you have to immediately have audience feedback that is metriced out, that you're like all week, you're like, I'm working on this creative thing, and then it's a dud, and you're like, everyone hates me, and I'm a loser, and they're looking at it and laughing at me, and I suck.
It's brutal. It does suck, and I wonder if it puts us into too many different directions and we don't commit to, like, one path as much as we used to.
Yeah, it does. It waters down whatever your actual creativity is, because you're trying to do stuff that performs. But at the same time, you know, if I was like, the most creative thing that I'm into right now is making like a collage, I can't be pissed if it doesn't blow up and take over YouTube.
Yeah, and I think the fact that you just are making so much stuff,
yeah,
probably means, like, probability wise that you'll make something that's amazing.
Yes.
And it might have just taken a lot of misses to get to that make.
Or then you'll have one that I'm like, this is awesome, and this was great, and then it doesn't
it
do well, and I'm
every
like,
time.
What the fuck? It was good.
I know. Sometimes, like, I question the audience, and then I question myself, and I don't really know who to trust.
But it's all ego, because now we're trying to, like, control the result of something instead of being like, whatever. I liked it. It's good. If people like me, they'll come to my page and like it. But it is an odd thing to be so consumed by.
It's hard because we're so, like, it's hard to disconnect from the result.
Yeah, especially when you're like, you have two kids. You're like, this kind of needs to work out.
Yeah, but I like that motivation.
Yeah.
I like being like, oh, man. Like, and it's almost, it goes beyond the monetary for me sometimes, where I'm like, I just want them to have, like, a strong, successful father.
Right.
Like, I think that's, like, a good, my dad was a maniac, but he was strong.
Yeah.
And, like, I want my kids to have that too. And then I come up against the ceiling where I'm like, maybe I'm not that dude.
Right.
But I like that doubt being in my head. Like, I want to be always afraid. I like that feeling.
You are supposed to face resistance. I mean, it's like working out. Like, you're not gonna get, like, a strong physique without putting your body in uncomfortable situations that
suck.
Like, if I could eat McDonald's and be jacked,
I'd be shredded. And, like, Chad Johnson can
awesome.
Do it. God bless him.
Dude, so sick. The guy is aging in reverse and just crushing McDonald's and looks awesome. Like, he's the only podcaster that will come up. I'll see a Chad Johnson clip, and I'm like, he's hot.
He looks amazing.
Dude, he's hot.
And him and Shannon, dude, this is what scared me.
Shannon.
They're so funny.
Yeah.
These athletes are so funny. Like, Shannon and Chad Johnson, they're doing ready for primetime bits.
Yeah.
Every time I check in on, like, TikTok, I'm like, these guys are incredible.
They are
good.
And
then I watched them fight the other day, and I was like, it was the best fight I've ever seen.
Yeah. What do they fight about?
Like, Shannon was taking stuff personally because people have been calling him out about, like, some sexual things that he doesn't fit with, like, his truth or what he thinks
right.
about himself. Basically calling him gay, I think.
Right.
And then Chad Johnson.
Well, dude, he got roasted the other day for, like, getting out of a car and, like, standing weird. And then
everyone
was like, he's fucking gay. I'm like, what?
Yeah, they say zesty, which I think is actually pretty funny.
Zesty is the best.
It is funny.
Throw some zest on it, dude.
Exactly. And then Chad Johnson was like, you can't take stuff so personal.
Well, this could be a problem. If
yeah.
If you have a crazy
Yeah,
person.
The elements are definitely here.
Yeah.
You know, especially with us with the mics and a camera, this is kind of a, tractor
could
beam.
Could be a real problem.
We're
so
ready
we're
for
see
it.
See
yeah.
what happens. Is he approaching?
No, I think, you know, I always make the mistake of direct eye contact.
I'm thinking, well, you're facing that way, so you can keep an eye.
I think I know this guy. We performed at the Improv together the other night.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, he had a solid set.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Big boy.
Yeah, that could be.
I'll go for the left leg. You go for the right leg, and
could
then
be
it's just a control
game.
At that
scenario.
Point.
This could really be the episode that breaks through. Is if we have to actually
that
fight this
with
guy.
A lot of these Twitch streamers. I'm like, I'll talk to our social media guy. I'm like, how'd this guy get big? He's like, oh, he's doing a Twitch, and a mouse ran under
yeah.
his chair.
Yeah.
Got 65 billion views. I'm like, yeah, I just gotta wait for.
It's almost. It was one of those things where it's like either my life is over or my career is just beginning. He thinks kids are shaking their butts at him at the gym.
I've heard that. I've gone to sex addict meetings in the past, and I've heard guys in there who had.
You go to SA meetings?
I used to. I haven't been in a minute, but it saved my life. I do think it saved my life.
Really?
Yeah, for
were
sure.
You were just
webcam piping. Porn and Adderall just all
oh,
day long,
yeah.
baby.
The Adderall probably was a huge player in that.
Because I'd soothe myself. I'd feel like shit afterwards, and I'd just watch like 10 hours of webcam porn.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
10 hours
animal.
Is crazy. And were you paying? Were you on the clock
oh,
dropping
yeah,
cash
I was
on that?
Very generous.
Wow.
I treated everybody very well.
That is nice of you.
I was.
Your addiction definitely like sent some kids to a school, to
I
a
think
college.
So, and I feel good about that.
Yeah, that's good. That's a positive externality.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, but you worked through it.
I did.
It is kind of to your point. Like, you can't have, you do have to go through uncomfortable shit to come out the other side a better person. Like, if you had just it at, like, a normal level, you know, you might have just kind of done that for a while.
Totally. I kind of had to hit a hard bottom to bounce out of it. And I've had an easy life, too.
Yeah.
So a lot of it's just me generating it.
Yeah.
It's like I think some people, adversity is already there, so they don't need to manufacture it.
Right.
For me, I've had to, like, kind of...
make things a little bit harder to
yeah.
push through.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. This guy is tripping me out. Well, we'll just keep our eyes on our own. I'm surprised that he didn't come right over here, considering that we have the setup.
I think he's respectful of production.
He's
done lockups before yeah, as a PA. Yeah. He gets
this
it.
This is Hollywood, after all.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, dude. He's not going to ruin a shoot.
Yeah, he's called out plane. He's like, watch your audio, plane.
Oh, shit. Where did you grow up?
Orange County.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. SoCal, dude.
What about you?
SoCal.
NorCal, right?
NorCal, yeah.
Oh, let's go.
Everyone always is like, oh, SoCal. I'm like, I don't know. This is just how my voice was made. And I was near Santa Cruz, so there was definitely like a vibe thing. And then... in high school, the like Cali reggae scene was popping, and I like got into all that, and that was just like my identity. It was like,
what are the bands in that one?
Like Revolution and
yeah.
Iration and Slightly mm-hmm. Stupid and that whole thing. So it became like beach culture was a huge thing.
It's
even
the
if
best.
We had to drive a bit to get there.
What's your favorite Slightly Stupid song?
Oh man,
Cali Man.
The Cali Man.
About their dealer that died, dude.
Is that what it was about?
I think so. Their dealer died.
He
and they
died,
wrote that really
dude.
Sweet song about him.
That's really nice, dude. A lot of dealers don't end up getting that level of respect.
I think people don't want their dealers to be like in the inner circle. And Slightly Stupid was like...
like, no, that's the homie,
yeah,
dude.
He's our guy.
We can't sing about weed and then hate the guy who brings it to us.
Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy, dude.
Dude, my brother used to smoke a lot of pot, and I'd smoke a lot with him. And I remember his dealer knew one of our other friends and texted him and was like, hey, are they dealing? We were buying so much weed from him, he thought we were dealing it.
That is crazy.
I know. I was like, we might need
did
to
Did you ever
it.
Have the, like, weed anxiety, or was it always a chill
Oh,
vibe
yeah. It was
you?
Fun at first,
yeah.
and then there's a good Paul Schrader quote where, like, at first you're having fun with drugs, and then they're having fun with you.
Ooh, that
yeah.
is good.
And that definitely happened. Because, you know, I started doing it at work. I'd smoke weed before work, and it made me really cool. Everyone at work was like, you're fun. But then... I kept doing it, and then I started making mistakes. And I remember then one time when my boss was like, what are you going to do? Go outside and smoke some weed before you do that?
And you're like, ooh.
I was like, you knew about that? I was like, I felt so caught. And I was like, oh, man. And then people started thinking I was kind of a bonehead.
Yeah.
But it did help me at first. It got me promoted.
Right.
But then
you're
put
the chillest guy
on.
Ever. But then, yeah, it's the same thing you were saying. It is like you... Fuck, I just lost my train of thought. Dude, am I high?
No, dude, are you?
No.
That's legit.
Yeah, so you started and people were like, oh, you're sick, but then you just start fucking up, and then...
Then I was, like, forgetting stuff, and people just thought...
It is hard. Like, it's hard to be the present fun guy and also be good at your job. Like, you do need a little bit of the stress that weed would take away, but when I would smoke, I would just get stressed that I said the wrong thing or that people didn't think I was cool, and then I would just be, like, thinking about all that shit.
I had a lot of that, too. Like,
yeah.
just, like, a neuroses. And sometimes I'd do it before sets, and they would give me the best set ever, and then sometimes... I would like say something. I'd be like, oh, they thought that was lame. And then I just go down the rabbit hole of doubt.
Like, oh, I suck. And then you just go into a joke you didn't want to do and you're like half saying it.
And you're robotic and weird. And then you listen back to it, you're like, oh, it wasn't even that bad. It just...
It's like the reverse of when you're hammered and you're like, I fucking laid the smack down. And then you listen to it and you're like, not exactly.
And you're slurring
great.
Your words.
Yeah, you're like, ah, fucking, ah, this fucking guy. What
stupid
do you do
bitch.
For work? You fucking pussy.
You're a fucking pussy and you're a bitch.
Yeah. Oh, shit. All right, I have prepared one thing that I want to try here with you. Because as we've discussed, I think you're a learned man.
Thank you.
I think you're a considered man. I think you focus on the deep questions and the spiritual side. But also, you're like me. You're a Cali bro.
We like to get after it.
So this is a segment called Paul Walker versus Thich Nhat Hanh. Do you know who that is?
Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah, he's like a Vietnamese
mindfulness guy.
Yes, yeah.
Joe List is big on him.
Is he really?
I know that from his podcast. Yeah.
Yes. I haven't listened to it. Is it all about mindfulness?
Not that one. I'm just talking about Tuesdays with Stories.
Oh,
I used to
nice.
Hear him talk about it. But he does have a...
Because I was going to say, I saw Mindful Metal Jacket.
And he has like oh, Sam Harris on there or something.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah, I love the idea of starting a podcast just so that you are focused on the right thing. You know, like, I think him being like, it's really easy to, like, if you started a podcast that was about, like, OnlyFans girls, that would be a negative thing. But if you start one that's about mindfulness, you're like, shit, I have to track down all these people and, like, read their
yes.
books, and perhaps it would make me a better person.
I do like that, where, like, the endeavor built into it is like, improvement.
Right.
And, like, the solution that you're kind of questioning the whole time.
And it's kind of, it is weird, because on the one hand, you're like, well, you should just do the work. You don't need to, like... monetize and contentize, which is not a word, but could be
yeah.
everything. But at the same time, it's like, you're not going to be able to call up an author and be like, do you want to chat for an hour?
No.
Like, hey, Sam Harris, can I have an hour of your time? I got some shit I really want to think about.
You know, and it worked, dude. Like Henry Kissinger, right? The old Secretary of Defense
yeah,
or whatever.
Great dude.
For Nixon, when he was
people
at,
love him.
Yeah, right. But I mean, successful
at
bombing people.
Yeah.
But when he was at Harvard, he just made a magazine where he'd invite intellectuals to write on it. The magazine went straight into his closet. No one read it. He didn't even distribute, but he just got a Rolodex of all these monster thinkers.
It's kind of like Judd Apatow did that with comedy.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't realize when he was like 15, he was like, I have a radio show at the school. And so all of a sudden he's interviewing like Jerry.
Doesn't that just make you want to sock him though?
It's crazy. It also tells you how low comedians are that Jerry Seinfeld was like, this high school kid wants to interview me. I'm fucking in,
respect.
Dude.
Respect. Fine.
Yeah, hook it up. Totally. I want this.
It's true. I am trying to get over the thing, too, because it's so true. Like, so much of TikTok now is someone like, watch me give $100 to this lady who, like, needs it to buy, like,
right.
formula for her babies. And you're like, this is the most disgusting thing I've ever
yes.
seen. But I think I'm trying to get to a place where I'm not bothered by, what would you call it? Like exhibitionist,
yes.
altruism.
It's always such a lightning rod, and it brings up so many issues, because it's like Mr. Beast will like build wells in Africa, and then people will be like, well, if he really fucking cared, he would have fixed the problem with Africa. Or like, it's like, yeah, this is what he does. He is a YouTuber, and he is using a good thing to make content, which generates money, which allows him to do other good things. And yes, it enriches him in some way. But then people just want to fight about like the entire social situation. So if he didn't make the video, we're just not having the conversation,
right.
and no one's getting water. But at the same time, I go, I don't feel great about it.
Yeah, but that's my thing, is like, what if he doesn't care? Let's say it's worst case scenario and he
right.
doesn't care about giving people eyesight back or building wells, or he's just a total piece of shit who just does it to build an empire. Is he still not better for the world
right.
than me, who's turned, like, when God looks at it and looks at like our till, like net benefit, net, I probably am worse than him.
Right. God's not going to be like, well, you really should have thought about the capitalistic structure that like got us here in the first place. It's like, what the
God's
fuck?
Like, well, his intentions weren't pure. Yeah. Like, he did buy a nice condo after he made that video.
I think that what people do get dubious of it, and I think the thing that could potentially be a fair point is when you do it wrong, it really sucks. Like, bro, do you remember, what was it, Coney 2012?
I think about this guy all the time, dude. We talked about him a couple of weeks. I'm big on the Coney guy.
Dude, it was huge because it was like Hidden Children was the first one, right? And that came out when I was still in high school. And it was like a big thing. It was, I'm sure people remember, but if you don't, it was like this group. They were like, there's all these like kids who have been like kidnapped in Africa and we want to help. And it was right at the like new era of like YouTube and like making a documentary, and went crazy, and they followed up by making one to take down this horrible warlord Joseph Kony, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then they just completely failed. All the money ended up being embezzled, and then the dude got caught in the middle of the street of San Diego naked jerking off.
I related to that so hard though,
like
the whole world's like, you're a hero, and you're like, I can't handle all this, like, positive. They're putting me in a cage. They think I'm good all the time. I'm not good all the time. I'll show you who I am. I'll show you who I really am. And just being in Gaslamp District, just wailing on yourself.
Crushing one.
You're just like, ah, now you know.
Obviously a horrible situation for him, but I would wonder if it was one of the stronger jerks of his life if you were just thinking about it.
Dude, the bust was huge. He fell asleep immediately after, just in the middle of an intersection. Just straight to snooze.
And it's San Diego, so they don't know how to deal with precipitation, so it flooded the streets.
Yeah, exactly.
So there was just loads.
It was a total hazard. I mean,
what is he doing now? Hopefully he's just chilling.
I think he's probably like, that was enough for a while, but he'll come back. He'll shy
in. No way he doesn't already have a podcast.
There's something coming. There's a documentary about him coming down the pipes for sure.
Yeah, literally.
I also, Will Angus.
It's called Coming Down the Pipes.
Will Angus told me that Kony was dead the whole time.
Really?
I might be misremembering, but someone told me, and this is all second, third hand, but that, like, oh yeah, Kony was dead. And so the whole thing was just like, I don't know, just a story he liked.
That is crazy.
It just gets deeper and deeper.
Yeah, because I could never find him. And at the end of the day, it's very hard to make compelling cinema that captures the heart of the nation like that.
He knew what he was doing.
He did.
He structured it nice.
Yeah. No, it's like, it was successful.
It was Dune 2 back then.
Have you seen that?
I saw it.
I think I'm going tomorrow.
Yeah, I think you'll enjoy it.
I haven't seen Dune 1, so I have to like find
time. I don't think you need to see Dune
1. Great. That's what I wanted to hear.
People are going to tell you need to see it. I think you're smart,
I'll read
guy.
The Spark Notes.
You'll
or
piece
I'll,
it together.
I'll read the Wikipedia or something.
One is boring. It's
I
just
threw it on
table.
Last night. It was the end of the night, and I was just like, I'm tired. I'd been drinking. I can't start a movie at that. But dude, the reason I was drinking last night, I did. I actually wasn't supposed to be on. I just popped by Trevor Wallace's show at the Improv, and we ended up drinking with Jake Paul.
I saw he was there. Oh, yeah, I saw you in one of the photos.
Yes.
You guys all look great, by the way. All you guys made good faces in that photo.
Thank you. Thank you. That's huge because, yeah, I got – other people were getting – I'm like, I can't ask for more than one, you know.
You made
it
count.
But I slid into that one. Yeah.
And he was doing this in it, right? He had his fists
dude.
Up.
Yeah.
I was
yeah.
wondering about that. Was he like – did he? Was it his choice to put the Dukes
oh,
up?
Oh, yeah. Everything he does is his choice. That I gathered. That I gathered very quickly. All very right. nice guy. Of course, we're at the bar, and, like, someone was, like, buying drinks, and I'm kind of looking around going, like, you better be buying these fucking drinks. Yeah. And then he turns to his security guard. He's like, hey, bring me my card. And there's, like, this jack dude, like, wearing a fanny pack, and he, like, gives Jake
Whoa.
His credit card. And then he's like,
That's
whatever you guys want.
His purse is
like,
a human being. His wallet
yeah,
is
dude,
an entire.
It's a man purse that is a man with a man purse. It's a literal man purse. It's unreal.
And did you guys know the Tyson fight had been announced when you saw
no.
him?
No. So I'm talking to his creative director, and the guy just goes, he goes, make sure to check your phone tomorrow. I'm like, okay.
It could have meant anything.
Yeah, that'll be.
Yeah.
He told me they had a meeting with Netflix. And so he's like, yeah, make sure you're on the internet tomorrow. I was like, I will be.
So was that Jake?
I will be. I assure you that.
Yeah, I'm a modern human. I'll probably
yeah,
check
it. I'll probably check it.
You're like, no, I'm actually going to be in the mountains.
Yeah,
I'm considering
yeah,
mindfulness.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, I had no idea. So, like, I go to bed. I post the photo of him on the story. I go to bed. I wake up. The first thing I see on Instagram is him versus Tyson. I'm like, damn, dude.
That's crazy. But it was fun hanging with him?
Yeah, he was super nice. He's like, very much who he is. Like, he's, like,
oh.
very much, like, being goofy and kind of center of attention, but not in a weird way.
Just like a natural kind of gravity to him.
What was interesting is it is a natural gravity, but it's also an unnatural gravity because everyone knows what fucking time it is, and it's like mostly comics. So now you're watching how everyone does the social situation.
How it changes all of us instantly.
Right, and people would be like, oh, that's why like LA is gross. It's very natural. Like, he walked
in,
it's
anyone.
The most exciting thing happening right now is that he's here, and everyone's like, what's the least lame way that I can get in a photo? Because you want to hit the IG story with I'm hanging out with Jake Paul, surely.
I do. I think it's lamer not to ask him for a photo.
Right.
I think that's being more...
pretending like you're cooler than...
Exactly. Yeah. Being like, oh, I don't give a fuck about that guy. To me, that's like being more obsessed with status and hierarchy by...
being like, I'm not going to give him the fucking pleasure.
Yeah, that's like dudes who are like, I'm a Sigma male. Like, I don't care about him. Well, I'm like, well, you care enough to like look it up. So like,
right.
What are you?
Yeah, it was fascinating. I think the interesting thing about it too was he is the type of person that everyone has an opinion about because of his whole internet and the YouTubeification.
And he's just like, talking shit constantly.
He's talking shit. He's ridiculous. He also was one of the first YouTube stars, and YouTube is the type of place where if you're famous, there's a whole industry around talking about your downfall or why you suck or whatever. So there's just always been
like
so
NFT
much.
Schemes, yeah, all this
and,
stuff.
Yeah, I mean, some really weird shit.
But he's part, it's like everything that like pops in culture, he's
it's
riding
like, of
that
course
rocket.
He's there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you have all these opinions about him, but then you're in a room and it shifts it to just now my opinion is just of how he was in the room with people and like who he was that
it's
night.
Realer.
It is realer. It's like, oh yeah, this is a real person. And instead of having like a hot take about it, it's like, okay, this is who he is. And he was sweet. He was cool.
It's funny too, because like when you see people as like, when they play villains in like media, you like hate them. Like I'll see him at a UFC fight. I'm like, get the fuck
get
off
the
this
fuck out of here. Yeah.
But it's like, I grew up hating Shaq because he was like mean to me when I was like a little kid.
Really?
Yeah. And then
it's a great villain arc.
But then I saw him at a Laker game after he had retired, and me and my brother, he was kind of rude to both of us. When he came in, we both smiled and were like, oh my God, it's like, it was fun having a villain in our life for all those
years.
Yeah,
it's at the end of the day, it's entertainment. We're sitting here wanting to waste our time watching people and having a thought about them, but then we're mad when it's like, oh, they're the bad guy.
Yeah, and like, I mean, the fact that he might beat the shit out of an old Mike Tyson.
It's so weird. I literally like woke up and I was like, man, what a cool guy. And then I saw he's fighting Tyson and I'm like, technically that's cool. I feel so weird about it. I'm not interested.
But I have like a dark curiosity where I'm like, what's gonna happen? And I'm like, is Jake Paul gonna knock out?
Beat the fuck out.
Is he gonna beat the shit out of Mike
he
Tyson?
Just dies.
Like, it is
just
interesting.
It is interesting. Hand it to Jake. It is interesting.
Yeah, because the last guy he fought, it was like he fought a kind of no name professional
he
boxer.
He was kind of. I think he was kind of. I would hesitate to say falling off, but it's like the public had gone away from the imagination. Let me check this camera real quick. Cause it looks I'm bad. That looks way better.
Nice.
Production team, let's Avery. It is crazy to me that fight has enough interest that it's going to be, theoretically has enough interest. They're doing it at the Cowboys Stadium?
That's where it's going down at? And it's going to be on Netflix.
It's crazy.
It is insane.
There's no way they sell at the Cowboys Stadium. I guess because it's Tyson, and now the narrative will be, and Jake is a genius at this, like, the fact that he's old puts Jake back into the villain category where now everyone's like, now you're just beating up a fucking grandpa.
No, it's mean.
Yeah, and that is kind of where he almost needed to go back to because people were kind of being like, oh, he's kind of fine. Like, I don't hate him, and the haters wanted to see him get starched, but now it's like, now he's fighting an old... I think he's acutely aware of what the dialogue will be. My first thought was like, ugh.
It's ugly.
Yeah.
But there's something... I don't know. I'm just kind of weird. I like almost respect the brazen ugliness of him just like embracing this villain. And like it's. I guess what I like about it is like it does feel calculated in a way where I'm like there's like a villain intelligence there where he's like I'm gonna beat up this old heavyweight champion who used to be this like the most ferocious fighter in the world.
Yeah.
And I'm just gonna walk his old ass body out there and knock him out and just make everybody sad. And then if people get mad at me, I'll be like, well, Mike Tyson was a bad guy. He did bad things.
Right.
Why do you guys worship? Like, he can flip it back on us, too.
He can. He's smart. He knows what he's doing.
Totally. I think that's what I like the Kardashians, I'm like, they're geniuses.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if they...
And the thing with Jake is he's doing something hard. Like, he is fighting and training.
Tough.
And like, actually, like, as much as people want to discredit it, it's like the opposite of the normal story of, like, lazy influence, just doing whatever. It's like,
he has knockout power.
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah. He has rare power in his hand. Like, not maybe rare compared to, like, Kennedy Golovkin or something, but, like, compared to... I couldn't knock a guy out with one shot. I box. I have no power.
He's such an archetype of that kid who talks like this. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, his
with
tongue is, like, in
too.
His mouth, where it's like,
that's true,
I
dude.
Have known that so many of that kid, and everyone's always kind of wanted to punch it. You know what I mean? So he's really turned
point.
Into the perfect.
Listen, geez, what's going on? Like, what are we doing? There's no chicks at this party.
Dude, Otter Pops are gay. You know, you're like, wait, why did you call Otter Pops gay? We're all 10. We like him. He's like, nah, you're eating an orange one. You're a pussy.
Or the kid who always went too far, like you're in carpool, and they're like, well, you're just mad that your dad lost his job. And you're like, whoa, Devin, what are we doing here, dude?
That's why the whole got your hat thing with Floyd was perfect. It was like, that is what he does.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
He's a nuisance.
He is a nuisance, but he's become a self-actualized nuisance.
That's what it is.
And he has, like, done the work, and he has become his own. Bro, this is kind of the theme of this whole thing.
Yes.
It's kind of the loser, and everyone tried to say, you're a piece of shit, but he was like, no, this is who I am. And he pushed through the other side, and he's had learnings on the way, and now we have to accept Jake Paul for who he is.
And self-actualization is different for every person. Like, people think if a douchebag does shrooms, he's going to come out of the forest and be like, oh, I should be nice to people. It's like, no, he's just going to be a better version of that douchebag. Like, a more authentic douchebag is different for everybody.
Right, right.
And I think my enlightenment is just like, yeah, I'm chasing this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's me.
Well, whatever your enlightenment is, just chase it. Try to be a good person. Work for it. That's
unless you're a bad person.
And then be a bad person.
And maybe, hopefully, the good people kill you.
That's
and hopefully you being bad makes the good person step up and kill you.
That's a beautiful sentiment. Thank you, Jake. Oh, that's right. Oh, we have to do my... I forgot about my game. Yes. This game is called, is it Paul Walker or Tinch... Fuck, I wish I had studied how to say his name right.
It's better that way.
Tinch Hatnan. Okay. I'm going to read the quote. We can discuss the quote, but tell me who you think it
was.
Okay. Fear keeps us focused on the past or worried about the future. If we can acknowledge our fear, we can realize that right now we are okay. Right now, today, we are still alive and our bodies are working marvelously. Our eyes can still see the beautiful sky. Our ears can still hear the voices of our loved ones.
That's Paul Walker.
No. That was, but it's a good guess. That was the homie.
Oh, dude, let's
okay.
Go.
Okay, we're going to try this one. I have an airplane hangar with 17 cars in it. That's no joke. I have a half pipe in there, too. You know, like big ramp where I skateboard. It's awesome. It's the ultimate fantasy.
That's Thich Nhat Hanh.
That's correct. That is right. No, that was. You looked at me like, holy shit, dude.
I know. I was trying to do a thing. Paul said that?
Paul did say that. The crazy thing is I went on the same quote website, and the great thing was they had him, like, framed the same way. So, like, they act like Paul does have some – I'm going to give Paul – like, this is obviously Paul Walker. You know, obviously the game has been ruined, but we can discuss this. This is obviously Paul Walker, but there's something here. You know, all that really matters is the people you love are happy and healthy. Everything else is just sprinkles on the sundae.
Oh.
See, like, that's, it's basic, but it's not like, you know, he, but it's on.
And he thought of that in the moment. He thought of sprinkles on the sundae.
He wasn't writing a book, you know what I mean?
No, he was just spitting from what he felt.
But, like, it would be
unlike
on one.
Unlike Thich Nhat Hanh, who's at home, like, ooh.
You're riding like a pussy.
Yeah.
Get in the car and drive. Why don't you fire up the rickshaw, buddy?
Exactly.
It's set a record.
It's easy to write and talk about what life's supposed to be when you're not out in these streets just living, dude.
Yeah, dude. But I'm looking at it, and they're all on, like a vista. So there would be, like, a vista and, like, a mountain behind it. And it would be, people have a hard time letting go of their suffering out of a fear of the unknown. They prefer suffering that is familiar. That, I think, is beautiful.
That's very true.
It is true.
And it's true. People, they ID themselves so much with their trauma, too. I mean, I've certainly been guilty of it.
Yeah.
But I've had friends for, like, 20 years. They're like, you know, this fucked up thing happened to me. I'm like, no, you've been telling me about it, man.
Right. And it's tough because since it didn't happen to you, you can't be the person to be like, well, then get over. Like, if it's something that's worse than anything that's happened to you, you're like, I have no... But at the same time, it's just like, you don't you want to move past?
You know what I did is I had a friend who was always like, oh, you know, I got like sexually abused by like a priest.
Right.
And he couldn't get over it.
Right.
And it was really bumming me out.
Right.
So I knew I like couldn't say get over it because I'd never been through that.
Right.
So I went and got myself.
So you joined him?
I got sexually abused.
That's really nice of you.
And then I came out of it. I was like, wasn't even a big deal.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Now, you're like, look how sick I am. Yeah, and now you're both crushing it.
Yeah. One day I was like, dude, you should get over it. He's like, you have no idea what it's like. I'm like, actually. And I showed him the photos and stuff. I was like, I did it and I'm over it.
Now that's a beautiful message. That's how you hit him with the pics, dude. Yeah, yeah, check these out. Yeah, fond memes.
Even the same priest, dude, and he did me just like he did you. And now you got to come to the bar with me and the boys, and you're not allowed to get sad at all.
There it is, folks. Thank you, JT. Is there anything you'd like to plug?
Oh yeah, Going Deep with Chad and JT as our podcast. Check it out. And then, oh yeah, I've got a new thing. It's going to be called a after school special. It's called Deep Learning right now, where like I interview like a scientist and stuff. So check that out.
Fuck yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much for doing this, man.
Dude, thank you so much. I love hanging with you, man.
The anti-rain dance worked.
Yeah, dude.
We did it.
And I've never been here before. We came to the wrong park.
Oh, yes. Yeah. The last thing is you were like, meet at Verdugo Park. It's by my house. So I just plugged it into Google Maps and I ended up driving a drive that was somehow both 30 minutes from both of us, but helped no one to a different Verdugo Park in LA. But it's a nice Verdugs. And that crazy guy never took us out. And things are looking up.
And it wasn't a home game and wasn't an away game. It was just, you know, brand new site for both of us, which I think is...
I felt like you and I needed to be in the outdoors. And smart. I was right.
It felt good, dude.
I was right. All right, man.
Thank you.
Okay, there's the interview. Love JT. Just the absolute best. Hope you enjoyed the interview. Please come out to some live shows. That is how we make money out here. Carmel, California, 328. Miami, 44. Delray Beach, 45. Tampa, 47. Washington, D.C., 411 to 13. Phoenix, 427 to 28. Norfolk, Nebraska, 32 and 3. And Dallas, Texas, 614 and 15. And I think we got Fargo coming in there, too. If we got... people in the Dakotas? I don't know. It's possible. Okay, rules to live by. Number one, if you think you want to watch stock shows on TV, don't. Okay, back in the day, look, I used to try to get into investing a little bit. I read one book, very helpful book about investing. It was called The Simple Path to Wealth. And what this book tells you is, hey, you're not smarter than the entire market and all of the money and AI and intelligence that goes into it. So don't try to beat it with individual stock tips, especially if you're a fucking idiot like this guy and you don't read white papers and you don't even, I don't even do enough coke to be an effective investor. I'm out here trying to make other things for the economy other than just moving people's money around and betting and speculation, okay? I gamble on sports. Now, that's smart. But here's the deal. There was a time where, so I read that book. The book is correct. Basically, the whole thing is it's like put your money into a total stock market index fund. Don't die. It'll be worth a lot more in 25 years. And if not, then buy a gun because shit's going to be crazy. That makes sense. And that's how I started. And I was like, this makes sense. But then I was like, where's the fun in that? It was COVID. I had friends who were starting to get into trading things here and there. There was really nothing else to do. The only thing to bet on was businesses. Can you imagine? What a wild time that was. So we started watching the stock shows. And I realized you can't watch the stock shows if, like me, you're also unrealistically optimistic. Because I tend to believe if I give something a shot, why wouldn't that work out? It's just like buying a lottery ticket. I'm like, I don't know, that could happen. You have to believe some of that. I feel like it helps. But I was watching one of the stock shows one day, and they give you tons of tips. A lot of people lose a lot of money just by paying attention to these, especially retail investors. They get stuck with the bag. These guys, they're just like filling time on a podcast. You know what I like? You know, fucking NVIDIA. I don't even know what NVIDIA does. That's not the point, okay? One day, I was sitting at home. I was doing work, day job at the time, which is why I had some extra money to play around with. You know, I was like, I want to put on CNBC.
I got to see what's going on these stock shows. I got to be a man of wealth. I got to know what the people are talking about down at the country club that I won't be able to join for another 10 or 15 years, but would like to eventually one day. Yeah, I need to know. I need to be in the game. So I throw it on, and I get a hot tip right out of the gate. They're like, Beyond Meat just signed a huge deal. They're going to be the go-to plant-based burger for McDonald's for the next decade. A lot of bells went off in my head. Did I read the white papers? Do I know who the company's CEO is? No. But what do I know? I know McDonald's slaps. I've known that forever. It's the greatest restaurant in the world. Said it before, I'll say it again. You name another restaurant that's greater than that, I'll fucking wait. What has provided more happiness on a more consistent basis than a meal at McDonald's, aside from the, you know, the chemical-induced terror and depression that comes after the fact? But while you're eating it, come on. There's really not a close second. So I go, I like McDonald's. Do I eat plant-based? No. Have I ever had Beyond Meat? No. But I like the concept. I'm a California guy. I'm a little hippy-dippy. I don't put my money where my mouth is, but I like the idea that people are eating plant-based. I like the concept of Beyond Meat being an effective company and me wanting to eat that burger. I'd like eventually for fake meat to get so good that I'm like, yeah, I don't want something to die, but if somehow it's just as healthy and the protein's there and whatever else and it tastes as good, let's roll, baby. Let's roll. So I YOLO'd a decent amount of money into that. I threw some cash at it. I was like, you know what? This is a huge deal. I'm going to let this ride for today. And then I'll pull out at the end. I'll pull out most of it and like keep some long term. But like I'll ride it, goes up, pull out. Comes back from commercial break. And they go, well, the reports from earlier in the day were actually incorrect. Beyond Meat signed a very brief, non-exclusive extension. They are not actually the exclusive partner for plant-based at McDonald's for the next 10 years. It dropped 75%. I'm talking in between commercial break. I went to go have some fucking pistachios. I come back. I'd lost thousands of dollars. Not really the amount that I should have had in there. And I was like, that is it. That ended my career of individual investing. And I blame the shows. That was a false report. That was not insider trading. That was outsider trading. I got bullshit advice. I actually need the SEC to do a goddamn investigation of what happened on that show. Were the short sellers involved? Did they pay someone off at CNBC? I say yes. I say fucking yes. But here's why you really can't invest if you're an optimist. Have I sold my Beyond Meat? No. I'm letting it ride. Why? Because I believe it will come back. And you can't take a loss until you sell. And I don't take losses. I hold the fucking bag and I hold the line. And why do I know Beyond Meat will come back? Have I dug into their financials? Have I looked at their CEO? Have I ever even had it yet in the years that I've been carrying this stock loss? Fucking no. The only reason that I believe Beyond Meat as a stock will come back is because I own it. And that is a beautiful way to live your life. That's called optimism. But it's a horrible way to participate in the free market and the stock market system. So, rules to live by. Do not take stock advice from anyone on TV. But take stock advice from me. Buy Beyond Meat. It's a winner. How do I know? Because I have it. Rules to live by. You want to save the world? You want to save the world? Do you want to have cows keep getting slaughtered in these fucking streets? Or do you want to go with me? Do you want to go with the future? Do you want to go with Beyond Meat? Yeah, don't. Just go. No, do it. I don't know if I get enough views for this to be an SEC tampering violation, but I kind of got sidetracked and started laughing there because I think what I'm doing might be a federal crime. But, so I do want to say, this is not financial advice. But if it was, Ride with the King. Don't watch those shows. Probably don't trade individual. If you have extra, total market index fund. Or I'll start a Patreon. You can just give it to me. Maybe that's the look. Maybe that's the rule to live by. All right. That's the episode for this week. Thank you guys so much for listening. Been on the road. I'm going to try to, you know, at the end of these, a lot of times I like throwing in a sketch or a music video or whatever I have time for. Sometimes it's possible. Sometimes it's not. We were in LA. We were rolling. I hope you enjoyed the interview with JT. He's awesome. And I hope you enjoyed the show. As always, please subscribe, comment, like, you know, all that shit. Leave a review if you're listening on whatever platform. Very hard to get one of these off the ground. But if you're enjoying it, I want to keep bringing it to you. And I will. We'll see you next week.